Okay, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we are going to be covering the feature update with regards to auto attendant and call queue administration migrating into the Microsoft Teams Admin Center. So I'm going to ask Curtis to lead us off.
Yeah, thanks, Habib. So auto attendants and call queues, it's a long-loved feature, almost a PBX feature of Skype for Business Online and, of course, Skype for Business. So for enterprises adopting Teams, which have evolved the PBX-type feature set, a lot of people have been wondering about auto attendants and call queues. And just to review for our audience, auto attendants are basically sort of the traditional interactive voice response type features where a caller, whether it be internal or external, moves through sort of a voice response system to locate the appropriate destination inside an organization. Call queues are typically when a caller dials in, doesn't get someone live, they get put in a queue and then there's some routing associated to where they go. So the big announcements here we're going to talk about on this podcast is both auto attendants and call queues are moving into the Microsoft Teams experience. And any existing auto attendants or call queues that were created and used in Skype for Business Online are now being migrated in the Microsoft Teams Admin Center. This will happen in the background. There should be no service disruption. It is started this month. When it exactly shows up in your tenant is to be determined, but this migration will happen. It'll be happen soon. And one of the big changes is how auto attendants and call queues are created and how they're managed from the admin portal and through PowerShell. One of the big changes is now a resource account is central in the definition of an auto attendant and call queue. And basically, a resource account defines the phone number, the object, and all the configuration for the call queue and auto attendant. So, Michael, why don't you tell us more about the resource account?
Yeah, so these new versions of auto attendants and call queues, they're going to leverage that resource account. And what a resource account is just really a disabled user object in Active Directory. And so every auto attendant and call queue has to have, you know, it requires an associated resource account, but you can actually take multiple resource accounts and assign to a single auto attendant or call queue. So this resource account is really going to be the glue to adding additional phone numbers. So you can have a single, like a sales call queue, and then have three different numbers ring that same object. So if you're going to, and so these resource objects, you can assign them either a Microsoft service number or a direct routing service number. So this is a welcome addition here. And if you're going to assign a direct routing number, you have to license this resource account either with an E1, an E3, an E5. And then it'll also need that phone system add-on. Now, if you're assigning a service number, a Microsoft service number there, you have to use an E1, E3, or E5 with that phone system add-on, as well as calling plans. So this is a little bit different than from the legacy portal where you really didn't have to license any of those auto attendants and call queues. They created the kind of the resource object behind the scenes. You never saw that. So you are using that user licensing model for these resource accounts. Microsoft has said that they're going to work on an appropriate licensing model, but for now, for applications, but for now, it is that user model. And I want to make it clear that you have to use a Microsoft service number. So you can't use a user number that's meant from calling plans or whatever like that for these objects. So if you are porting a number from another carrier into Microsoft, make sure you're porting it as a service number. Now, you don't need to license the resource accounts for when you're not using a phone number. So if you're just creating the resource account to assign to the auto attendant or call queue, and you're not going to put a phone number on that, you're just going to use like the SIP address to call it, or the UPN to call it, then you don't need to license that for the telephony aspect. And then if you have cascading auto attendants and call queues that don't actually have a direct number, then you don't have to license it, the resource accounts for those. So if you have an auto attendant at the top level where you have a phone number, you license that resource account at the top level. And then if you have that auto attendant call a call queue, but that call queue doesn't have a direct number, it's just call reference from the auto attendant, you don't have to license that. And so how you're going to create these resource accounts is you're going to actually go into the new Teams Admin Center. You're going to go under org settings, and then there's a new option for resource accounts. And so when you create one of these objects, you're going to define the display name, the username, and you're going to select the domain from the available domains in your tenant. After that creates, there's some replication time you have to wait. Then you're going to assign it or unassign it. When you go into that option, you're going to have the ability to pick a phone number from the list of Microsoft service numbers. Now, unfortunately, direct routing numbers aren't going to be there because Microsoft's not aware of those direct routing numbers. So you'll have to manage a resource account from PowerShell if you're going to assign a direct routing number. And then you would select if it's going to be an auto attendant or a call queue, and then you would select the auto attendant or call queue, the specific auto attendant or call queue that you're going to link it to. Now, if you're doing this in PowerShell and you want to create the resource account homed online, you're going to use the CS Online application instance. And then if you're creating the resource account homed on premises, say for Skype for Business Server 2019, you're going to use the CS hybrid application endpoint. Once you have that resource account, you're going to apply your appropriate licensing if you want to put a phone number in there. You do need to know what kind of application it is when you're creating that resource account. So if it's going to be an auto tenant or call queue, there's a specific GUID you have to use when you create it in PowerShell. And then after you've licensed it, you're going to assign the phone number to that object using the CS Online Voice application instance. And then I'll throw it over to Hab to kind of break down the changes for auto attendants.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. So from an auto attendant perspective, as Curtis briefly mentioned, you know, it allows external or internal callers to move through a menu system and locate or place a call or locate, a location or be transferred to the appropriate location, desired location, right? Whether it's department or not. So the ability to have auto attendance was provided in the old admin center. And so those auto attendants are going to be automatically migrated, as the guys mentioned before, into the new Microsoft Teams admin center. So in there, you'd be able to modify the existing auto attendant that's been previously created. And Michael, as he mentioned, the resource accounts, everything will be done in the back end automatically for you so that you don't have to perform that migration, right? So So that's one of the major things that's coming over. Obviously, there's going to be new functionality from a PowerShell perspective, different commandlets to create the and manage the auto attendants. And then also, there's just a different process and experience. Obviously, having to have that resource account created first as opposed to having it created automatically for you. You have to have at least one resource account tied to an auto attendant. So as Michael mentioned, you have a phone number and a resource account. You can have multiple resource accounts associated to an auto attendant. So if you have different phone numbers answering or one auto attendant, I should say, answering for multiple resources account, you have that flexibility now as opposed to previously you didn't. It was a one-to-one mapping from that perspective. So when you create a new auto attendant, this is where you obviously assign the resource account, you have time zones, language, transferring to an operator or sending it to a call queue, which Dino will talk to in a minute, sending it to a voicemail extension, allowing to use voice input, so speech recognition, assigning business hours in which you would, have call routing, mapping, digit selection, that kind of thing. Same thing for holiday hours. And then obviously the standard directory search, right? So either DTMF, which is basically just dialing the buttons on the phone for the person's name or phone number. I do want to point out that there is no limitation on the directory size when you're searching by DTMF. If you are using the speech voice recognition, there is an 80,000 user directory max size limit. And then as Michael mentioned, when you create these and it builds the directory, there is going to be some time for the directory to be available for you for the speech recognition, and any net new users that get added in won't be added in right away. There's a time for replication there. So from the text-to-speech perspective, there's going to be 27 languages available. And then also from a speech recognition perspective, there's 14 languages available. And so maybe I'll pass it over to Dino, and you can give us some information about CallQs.
Yeah, thanks, Ab. So, you know, once again, to reiterate, CallQs, you know, provide that basic call center functionality where you can have inbound calls routed to agents. So think of it as a mini call center type functionality. In Skype for Business, these were referred to as response groups and were around for some time now. So when you hear the term call queue, it's really just the new term for what response groups were on-prem in Skype for Business. In terms of features, there's very similar. Call queues can provide, you know, an organizational wide greeting, music on hold while people are waiting when they call in, redirecting of calls to different agents that are part of that call queue, or mail enabled distribution lists can be used, or security groups. You can also set a bunch of different options and settings for the queue maximum size, the hold times, the timeouts, call handling options. All that still exists. So I won't get into all the gory details, but you can check out the various options there online. So similar to response groups, all calls waiting in a queue will be distributed with one of the following three methods. And so there was attendant routing, serial routing, and round robin. So with attendant routing, everyone gets blasted with the call, and the first person to pick it up kind of gets the call, and then it'll stop ringing on the other agent's Teams client or Skype for Business client. With serial routing, you define the order. So you can have, if you had 10 people in the queue, you could set the order of how you want that call to be presented to users so that the inbound calls will all come in the same order every single time. And then lastly, with round robin, as you might guess, it's just going to distribute the calls evenly to everyone in the queue. So those same 10 people, when set to round robin, would then equally get the calls coming in. So if there's 100 calls coming in a day, they'd each get 10 calls. A couple of notes, or a few notes. Call agents who are offline, obviously, or have their presence set to do not disturb, are never going to get calls. So they it's just something to keep in mind. Only one incoming call notification for calls coming in will be sent at any one time to the call agents. After a call agent accepts a call, it'll cease ringing on any of the other agents' desktops or client. So and that will start up again the very next call coming in. Michael touched on this, but worth mentioning again, to redirect calls to people in your organization or online, they must have a phone system license and be enabled for enterprise voice or have a calling plan assigned. You can't anything to do with this, obviously, transferring a call, obviously, they're going to need to have the appropriate licensing in place to do this or it won't work. If you're curious about using on-prem phone numbers, again, Michael touched on this a bit. For call queues, direct routing service numbers for auto attendants and call queues are supported, but only for Teams users and agents at the moment. I think that there's some possibility that it may be extended to Skype for Business users, but that's not the case today. So again, direct routing numbers will only work for Teams users today. And if you're using calling plans, sort of the corollary of direct routing, user or subscriber phone numbers can't be assigned to call queues. You have to use the service or toll-free numbers that have to be used when you have calling plans in play. And lastly, there's still no functionality to route unanswered or overflow calls to voicemail directly. So I see this is a feature request I get asked about a lot, and that's, hey, we just want the call queue to overflow to voicemail. Can we do that? And the answer is yes, but you need to, the workaround is you need to set up a user, assign them a license, and then set that user up to automatically, you know, permanently forward their calls to voicemail, which isn't optimal, but it's kind of the only workaround for now. So hopefully that's something Microsoft will address moving forward. And with that, I'll kick it back over to Hab for closeout.
Yeah, thanks, Dino. Thanks, guys. I mean, I think this was a really important topic to cover. Definitely gives some insight to the users and the user base of some of the upcoming features that are coming. And obviously, there's still that migration strategy that's happening from your Skype for Business to Teams side of things. So definitely great information to have that holistic understanding about your migration from Skype to Teams. So anyways, with that, thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yeah, thanks very much.